As we encounter Scripture this morning, the word I have for you is that there is good news. And it's not an isolated word. It's not a word that comes in easy times. And the book of Romans, where you're about to hear Paul reading and sharing this writing to the church at Rome, they were in some of the worst hard times, about to face those. And in spite of those hard times, there is hope. And so I invite Gwen forward so that you may hear these words of hope.
Is from Romans chapter 8. Verses 28 to 39. We know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, he will not with him also give up everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In spite of everything, I still believe in Jesus Christ. In spite of everything, I am still convinced that a life with Jesus is the only life worth living. And I mean that. And I want you to hear that. Last night, we confirmed 14 young people. I had them stand up where they were sitting. And I said those words to them because my greatest hope and prayer for the night was that my hope would become their hope and that their hope would be with them because they've got a lot of everything ahead of them. And in spite of everything that they will face, I am convinced that Jesus Christ is their best hope, and I am so thankful that they made that faith commitment last night. In spite of everything, I believe. Now, I know that sounds negative, but this is the place where we're honest, and we need to know that in spite of everything, and there is a lot of everything out there. You turn on your television or open the newspaper or the computer or wherever you get your media, and you see a lot of everything out there. You see forest fires raging in California. You see war happening in different places around the world, wars that have been going on forever. You see people fussing with each other, unable to get along with each other. You see the rise around the world of nationalism, of racism, not just here, but everywhere around the world. And we see so much of this everything happening everywhere. There's a lot of bad news out there. And it's one thing to say in spite of everything and to be talking about big, faraway, theoretical things. But I know there's a lot of everything close to home, too. That there are people that we know, people that we care about, that are having to deal with really tough stuff. Some of those people might even be ourselves. And in spite of everything, I believe in God's love through Jesus Christ, and I believe that you do too, and that there is hope and healing for all of us in spite of everything. Now, even if you don't believe me, let's turn to Scripture together, because Paul wants to make sure that his church knows that. Paul is speaking to the church at Rome, a church that was about to face a whole lot of everything. They were going to face persecution that we blessedly have never had to face as Christians in this nation. Nero was the emperor, and before long he'd be having dinner parties and need torches to light the way for the chariots coming down his driveway. And so he would gather up Christians and set them on fire for there to be torches. There was a lot of everything ahead for Christians in Rome. Lots of tough times. And so the words that he wrote, the words I'm about to share, are not words that were written in happy times. They were not words written when everything was going well. And remember that when you hear in Romans 8:28, Paul say, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose." When Paul is saying we know that all things work together for good, it wasn't because there were good things that were happening. It was because Paul was convinced that in God's good purpose, all things, everything, that everything in spite of everything, that all of those everythings were working together for good in God's good purpose. And then he goes on to talk about what that means specifically, because for Paul, for the church at Rome, this was not theoretical. In verse 31, Paul says, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The one who did not withhold the only Son, but gave Jesus up for all of us, will God not with Jesus also give us everything else?" This is the one God who sent Jesus to live for us, to die for us, to save us. And then he goes on and says, "Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn?" Now, this is where I ran into trouble last night at confirmation. Because I said to the confirmands, the 14 of them, I said, "So imagine that you've been charged with a crime, and that you're sitting there in a courtroom at the defense table, and that Perry Mason is your defense lawyer." All right, so I tried to update it a little bit. I said, "Imagine Matlock is your defense lawyer." Still nothing. I cannot come up with a lawyer today that is like that really good hero lawyer. If you can think of one, let me know, because I'm still stuck. But I said, "Imagine you've got a really good lawyer sitting beside you at your defense table." Who? Bull? I hope you're saying a lawyer's name. I hope you're not just saying that my sermon is. But Bull is a person. Okay, Bull, does that mean? Okay, see, I just got a lot older because I have no idea who Bull is. So you've got your good lawyer sitting by you, and you've been charged with a serious crime. And your lawyer stands up and makes a case for you in the closing arguments that is stirring. You look at the jury and they've got tears in their eyes because your lawyer has spoken so powerfully on your behalf. And you'd been concerned because it was a serious crime and you weren't sure if it was going to be okay, but you begin to have a glimmer of hope. And then at the end of this closing statement, your defense lawyer stands up, walks around to the judge's bench, and sits down in the judge's seat because your lawyer is also the judge. Well, of course, you're going to prevail. Well, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, who's going to condemn you? If God is for you, who's against you? Is the one that's going to condemn you the one that gave the Son for you, the one who gave Jesus for you? Of course not. And so Paul is telling them, in spite of everything that is going on in your life in Rome and in your life in Blue Springs and all around, that Jesus Christ is for you. And then Paul doesn't want to leave it there because this is so important. He wants to make sure that everyone knows that he is not just teasing. So he goes on to list it. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship? No. Will distress? No. Will persecution separate us from the love of Christ? No. Will famine separate us from the love of Christ? No. Will nakedness or peril or sword separate us from the love of Christ? No. And in case you haven't gotten the point, and in case you are wondering if in spite of everything, your everything might not be covered, Paul continues. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing in all of the everything in your life that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the great good news we hold on to today. Not that there's not an everything, but that in spite of everything, there is not a thing that can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. In spite of everything else they could have been doing the past 3 months, 14 young people met with me and Erica and 5 wonderful mentors for hours on Sunday night. And as we talked about the faith, as we talked about all of the different things going on in the world, in their world, we knew with certainty that Christ's love was for them. And last night it was beautiful as those 14 people stood up and proclaimed their own faith, said that in spite of everything else that was pulling on them, and as teenagers, you know there's a lot of everything in their world, in spite of everything else, they were claiming Jesus Christ, that they were convinced, as I am, that a life with Jesus is so much better than a life without, and it's the way to choose to live in spite of everything. They chose to spend their time there, and they have chosen to join with Jesus Christ through this church. Having said that, you'll understand then what I'm about to say. In spite of everything else that you could be doing with your money, with your resources, you need to support your church. Because through your church, fabulous things are happening. In spite of everything else you could be doing with the gifts that God has given you, you need to give here so that God can continue to work here. I just want to encourage you along that pathway. It may be that you have never, ever given to church before. You may have never given to God through church before. If so, I celebrate that this can be the first time that you step out in faith and you do that. And what a joyful thing that is. It may be that you have given for a while, but you've never given proportionately. And what I mean is that you choose to give a percentage of what you receive. And it may be 1%. If so, I rejoice, because once you start giving proportionately, you begin to look at your salary in a different way. And if you get a raise, it begins to feel different. Oh, I can increase. If you've been giving proportionately, but you haven't yet worked up to the biblical challenge of a tithe, of giving 10%, then I invite you to consider that. It may be that you've begun giving 1%, then you give 2%, then 3%. And I found when I got to 4%, then it was easy to move up to 10%. And it may be that that's where you are. It may be that you are experiencing the joy of giving through a tithe, and yet you want to exceed that. That may be too. But what I want to say is, in spite of everything else you could be doing, know that God has a special calling on your heart here. You see, in spite of everything, I believe that living for God, living with Jesus, is the best way to live. It's a way that brings meaning and purpose. And in spite of everything else in this world, it is true and it is right and it is good that we do that. Oh, there is so much everything out there, but I want you to know that you are God's creation. In spite of everything else you may hear about yourself, know this, that you are a beloved child of God. In spite of everything, that Jesus lived and died for you. And in spite of everything, you have a hope that is eternal and unfailing. Will you pray with me? Oh God, in spite of everything, I believe and I love you. And I pray that for everyone in this room too. I pray that you continue, oh God, to let us know how beloved we are. And that you remind us that we are one for whom you gave everything, and that we can never, ever be separated from your love. Amen.